Their Hall of Fame careers.
I gotta share with Don. Donnie sent me a note.
Okay, what did Donnie say?
Well, because first,
been a year.
Yeah, he said, wow, I forgot about the anniversary. 19 years, amazing. Sorry, couldn't be part of it today. Have you let your listeners know? It's a milestone. P.S. I'll check out Sweet Tooth. Because we always give each other TV ideas.
Yeah, I watched two more of those last night.
And?
I'm up to four, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
There's only eight episodes. Do you like it?
I do. I don't think my wife would like it because I think it involves children in peril.
Right.
But, yeah, it's pretty neat.
I know.
And you like it. Okay.
Casey and I finished it.
Okay, so you guys remember my very compelling random thoughts today?
I'm trying
to Google the Statue of Liberty so I know how that story ends.
Okay, so I start out telling you about the baby girl. They call this Paris, France is sending us.
You didn't even get to that much.
Well, you didn't let me.
All right.
So I start talking about France is giving us the Statue of Liberty light.
Yeah.
And I was going to tell you all about it.
Oh, God.
And you just poo-pooed it before I even said a word.
I still don't want to know.
And you don't know. I know. So we got the funniest email from Mary. Subject, Statue of Liberty. I was intrigued by your Statue of Liberty story and had to Google it since Lori cut you off. Not sure how you've lasted 19 years with her, booing you all the time, but a happy anniversary anyway. Mary, thanks for your note. It made me laugh.
That's hysterical.
It made me laugh. Well, so thanks, everyone, for your kind wishes.
Well, look at how you brought up the Google search on the Little Lady Liberty.
Well,
you've done good today, Julia. Right there, you've accomplished more than if you'd told the actual story
there
about the little 20-inch replica or whatever the hell it was.
No, Larry, you don't care. You so don't care, and I love that about you. You're so bad at faking it, though.
Okay,
tell me something.
Are you guys interested in a review in The Heights? Because that drops on HBO Max tonight.
Oh, it does.
It's at theaters tonight, and it's on HBO Max.
People go to theaters and see it.
Well, apparently, we are going to want to see this. And you know that Lin-Manuel Miranda created In the Heights.
Before Hamilton.
Yeah, because that goes back to 2008.
Yes.
And then he had a big, long, dry spell.
And he ragged the book Hamilton when he was on the beach, and then he thought, I have to do a play.
So here's what Johnny Alesky at the New York Post, he said, Lin-Manuel Miranda has done it again. He gives it 5 stars. He said, this is a blissful movie. It is the best movie of the year so far. It's also easily the best movie musical since the Oscar-winning Chicago from back in 2002.
Wow.
It's romantic. It is funny. It is a dazzling ode to Washington Heights and New York City, the, you know, upper Manhattan neighborhood where Miranda grew up and still lives. And, you know, it's this vibrant Latino community. And if you know that story, but In the Heights is unusual as far as Broadway musical musicals go, because it in the movie theater it packs more of a punch than it does as actual theater.
Okay, now that's
never happens.
Right,
that is a rarity.
That is.
And John M. Chu, who directed Crazy Rich Asians, directed this.
Remember how we
loved that movie, and he shot the movie in the real Washington Heights. And I heard him do an interview with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he said, even though Lin-Manuel had this whole experience living in Washington Heights, the Puerto Rican Latino community, I was living in that version of it in San Francisco in Chinatown.
Oh, interesting. Right. So
he said, so I knew the aunties. I knew the little, what our version of a bodega is, you know,
everyone's communities have
look
the same,
alike in that way.
Yes,
so
we have the same characters.
Anyway, Chu, just like he did with Crazy Rich Asians, he makes movie magic in how he films, because even ordinary stuff as well as extraordinary stuff, he kind of films with a dazzling, sparkly eye.
Yes, and we were bedazzled by that. That sounds good.
Doesn't
it? I've got a good review for you.
It's the year's best movie.
All right, I've got a new...
And it is ready to go on HBO Max right now.
Right now, we could watch it.
All right, well, here's something else that is happening tonight or tomorrow. Have you guys heard of the TV show Starstruck? It's coming to us from the UK, and we're going to love it. And it drops on HBO Max today. The series was created, and it stars a comedian from New Zealand. Previously premiered on the BBC. They've already, you know, optioned it. They're already doing season two. But here's what it's about. In Starstruck, this gal, Rose, plays a London millennial working two dead-end jobs who sleeps with a guy and then discovers he's a movie star. The show follows their budding relationship as they realize they can't stay away from one another.
Did we read this book?
Lori, well, I know what book you're talking about now, but this is, it doesn't, Rose is an exciting talent whose international stardom is on the rise. Her team, we can't wait for our audience to see this hilarious and quirky love story. Minnie Driver guest stars in it. It's coming back for season two. People love this, and it's called Starstruck.
What's it on?
HBO Max.
I'm looking right now. It's only a 20-minute show, and there's only six episodes.
Right.
We could knock that out tonight.
We totally could.
The Hacks finale.
That's right. Oh, is that on tonight?
Yeah. That's on right now, too. Let's just...
Jeez. Let's just go.
Let's replay the first
Let's just go. Right. Let's just call it a day. It's our 19th anniversary. Yeah, can't we get an hour off?
Yeah, come on.
So it's a rom-com, and it's supposed to be really
good.
Sounds
delightful.
I know. I thought you'd like it. I feel like this is right up our alley. Yeah. So we've got a lot of options.
But that synopsis sounds like a book we read.
It, Lori, I know.
And if we were lazy, or we weren't busy doing our show with our mouths right now, we would Google it. But I just can't be distracted. But I feel like Starstruck was like a book that we read.
It doesn't say anywhere that it...
Or maybe I'm getting it mixed up with Pamela Anderson's book that she wrote, her Romana Clef, that had
remember that one? It did have Star
Bleeper or Star... What was Pamela Anderson's book?
Good Lord.
That's something.
It doesn't seem to be...
not on a book, okay.
According to its Wikipedia, no.
All right.
All right, but the Pamela Anderson book, what the hell book did she write?
Remember that?
We loved it.
We tried so hard. Donnie tried so hard to get her on.
Right.
And...
I can't find
all we did was get, you know... We saw her in person. That was our, you know, thing. And she was dazzling.
Dazzling. I wonder how her marriage is going with the handyman.
The handyman who was married
with all the kids one island over in Vancouver. I wonder how that is going. Do you think she'll come to the premiere of Pamela and...
Here's what I hope Handyman
Hank.
Hank
is doing.
I hope that he understands that he has married a high maintenance woman. Okay. And, you know, just like a woman thinks, just like sometimes women think that they can change, you know, their partner's perspective, whether it's another woman or another man, whomever it might be, like they can get them to change their innate ways. Men get blinded just as equally as much. And then they don't realize, and they're a guy that they can't handle a high maintenance woman.
This is true.
She is a Rocco. Wouldn't you agree? Just based on the evidence,
it was just called Star. Her book was just called Star. But a novel.
Rocco, would you agree that Pamela seems like a high maintenance woman, an HMB, as it were?
Oh,
high maintenance babe.
There you go.
An HMB.
Lori, that memory of yours about the Romana Clef, that Star book came out in 2005.
Yeah.
Wow, a Champagne Blonde discovered by a beer company.
Donnie got me a copy of the book.
Of course he did. He always liked you better.
But he did try to get her on.
I know.
She was like only doing like national stuff. Yeah. She's very upset about this Pam and
Do
Tommy.
You think she's not excited about that?
Well, she's on the record. She has said it. She's quite, and she's had people... say things to different outlets. She's very much turning up her nose at this. She should be highly flattered that Lily James is going to just reinforce to the world
how amazing, drop dead
beautiful Pamela Anderson was.
That's the way to look at it.
And that she had the most glamorous and exciting life for a period of time. And it was with Tommy Lee. And they have two kids. And she should be looking at the bright side of all of this.
Lori, way to turn that lemon into lemonade.
Maybe it's Sebastian Stan. She can't get behind the fact that he just doesn't, he's not the right Tommy. She's probably not objective.
Do you think Tommy's aging well? I think too much alcohol has happened to him.
Well, a younger wife will age a man.
Okay, this is just like a younger man will
do the same thing.
We're talking about the Madonna and the younger.
When it's that many years, if it's 30, 40 years, I just think, okay, whatever.
How do you do that?
Anyway, so Tommy, you know, it's too bad he and Pam couldn't make it work.
Jules. How long did they last?
Well, he hit her. So she had to leave him.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes, she did. Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes.
They had a very volatile relationship.
Yes.
Anyway, all this from wondering what Pam's doing on the island with the handyman Hank. Is that what we called him?
Handyman Hank. The Triple H.
The Canadian. That's such a good Canadian name. You meet so many Canadians, Hank.
Hank. Or puppies.
And Gord.
And yeah, right.
There you go. Fine. All right,
listen, we got to get to our Dirt Alert. Holly's here ready to give us that.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hey, Holly.
Good afternoon.
My God. We've talked about so little dirt today. We've really been focused on ourselves.
It's your bronze anniversary today. 19 years on the radio today.
That's unbelievable.
It is. So you should be celebrating and feeling yourselves this afternoon.
Okay. All right. I'm going to feel myself right now.
Okay.
Until you look at me.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I hope that's
She's
selected.
She's rubbing her nothingness.
For the YouTube video of the day.
That's right. Just a cheap thrill. I answered the phone and I touch myself.
Answering. Oh, yes, she did. Oh, yeah. Here's the behind the scenes thing is that Lori answered the phone in her studio.
Yeah.
And Rocco and I are looking at the phone and hearing, like, what the heck is that?
Right.
Like, you like you broke the phone.
I never have picked up the phone in here in 19 years.
I don't know if that's something to brag about, Lori.
Well,
you know what? It's a year of new discoveries. You learn right clicking, email, in answering the phone. Congratulations, Lori. You really, truly did it. Hey, just following up on a conversation that you guys were having in the last segment over on HBO Max, Starstruck has already been renewed for a second season. So if you want to decide to dip into that show, getting great reviews, by the way. So they're going to have more.
Holly, were you watching The Heights?
I probably
like a musical
not tonight, night,
but will you watch it?
Actually, yeah, probably this weekend. Yeah. I'm excited to watch a fun movie.
Same.
It has been such a long time, and you know, I'm not quite ready to go back into the movie theater yet,
right.
But I will definitely watch it on HBO Max.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Same.
Yeah, let's get some Tom Girardi legal news this afternoon.
Please, because we watched that Beverly Hills last night.
Oh, and?
Well, I love the shady editors at Bravo. They really highlight when Erica talked to, she was talking to Garcelle, and she said, Tom is just at work all the time. He's just work. That's all he is. His work is everything to him. And then flash forward a week later, it's election day, and the episode ends with her doing a terse message to the ladies. I am filing for divorce against Tom. I hope you respect my decision. You know, it was like this really cold to all the ladies of Beverly Hills. And that's how they ended. Super good shady editing on the part of Bravo.
Oh, sure. So she just gives them a boilerplate about her upcoming divorce.
On election day, and they had Savannah and Hoda reporting. This is election day. You know, they really did the whole edit. Because remember, Erica... She filed the paperwork. I mean, that was a strategic thing on her part, hoping that no one would pay any attention to it.
Yeah, it's like burying gossip on a Friday afternoon in the summer.
But the balls to do it on election day, you know?
I mean, well, Tom Girardi, we're giving an update on him this afternoon. Erica Jane's estranged husband, he's now under a permanent conservatorship.
Wow.
So this hearing happened today in Los Angeles Superior Court. Tom's brother, Robert Girardi, was officially made conservator over Tom's person and estate. He was previously Tom's temporary conservator. And during this hearing, they all attended remotely. Tom appeared to not want to be in the conservatorship, but seemingly felt that he had no choice for the time being. So he said, obviously, I disagree with the conservatorship altogether and we'll do everything we can to dissolve it as soon as possible. He said,
oh,
I think we should put together reasons why the conservatorship should be dissolved and we'll address it in the court. But he said right now there's nothing to say to the court.
Because the Hollywood speak on this, this is a legal ploy to say that he has dementia or Alzheimer or whatever they have so he can deny that he knew or that he was taking. He's getting sued by everybody.
Everybody, right.
This is a legal strategy that he is doing to throw himself in. And then he hopes and prays he can get out of it. I don't know. I don't know how he gets out of stealing from all those widows and burn victims and orphans.
Yeah, literally.
Literally.
Literally. Not being hyperbolic here, but that is the kind of accusations that Tom Girardi is facing.
The Lion Air people in Malaysia. That is who he stiffed.
Yeah, you know, and interestingly enough, you know, Lori, you speak to that being absolutely a legal strategy because Tom's attorney said during this hearing that his client had found a treating physician for dementia, with the court finding that Tom has a major neurocognitive disorder. Mm-hmm. Now, a source adding a little bit of gossip to Entertainment Tonight, that's where I'm getting this story, that they said that Tom's not been doing well for a long time.
Well, this is why all the legal stuff that's playing out on the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, legal, the like the prosecuting people for the state of California are they're taking notes and freezing, you know, all of this because this will all be admissible stuff.
Right. You know, fascinating the people who are drawn to participate in the Real Housewives franchise when they're doing shady stuff and the government is watching you.
And they will have, they have the date of her saying that. That was like October 28th. Tom is working. He has been working this whole pandemic.
Nonstop. This is what he does.
He lives for this. I mean, so I'm like going, okay, there, what time was that?
There are people on the case concerning this. Should we have a little new music taste test this afternoon? All right, so we've got Mariah Carey with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis teaming up for the new single called Somewhat Loved, There You Go Breaking My Heart. Now this is officially a Jimmy Jam Terry Lewis song. This is off of their upcoming debut studio album as recording artists, Jam and Lewis Volume 1. Let's listen to the song and see what we think.
I like it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, this is the album's going to be out July 9th. It will also feature songs from Mary J. Blige, Charlie Wilson, Boyz II Men, Morris Day, The Roots, Toni Braxton. So this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So
Uncle Charlie.
Yes, he's back. We have the mystery solved this afternoon of Christopher Maloney's buns.
Oh,
what does the, is this? This is the
Law and Order guy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Lori
Stabler,
loves him.
Elliot Stabler.
Yes. So, star of Law and Order, SVU. He was back in the day. Well, he went viral earlier this year in April when there was a picture of him on the set, and he had buns for days.
Yeah, he was. It was incredible. I mean, even Cher tweeted about it. She did a screen grab. And tweeted about it. It was like, he was like a thing for 24 hours. For
No, he's doing an interview with Interview Magazine, and he does admit that he is blessed with wonderful glutes. But he said, you know what? He's put in the work. He said, I've been blessed with glutes, and I have an attractive shape.
He does.
Yes, but he says he has a trainer, and we're going through bodybuilding phases. And where everyone kind of caught me, he said, I've been preparing for 1 year in a very high-intensity weight training program that focused on the legs.
And we've appreciated it. And I also appreciate, and I wish more men would wear V-necks, Julia.
Oh, I have
T-shirts
loved a V-neck
and sweaters.
Forever.
Yeah. And I love a V-neck. I wish all these guys would stop with their crew.
Oh, yeah. Let it out for the summer,
let us
please.
See your clavicle, damn it.
Yes, absolutely. And finally, hey, before we leave, funny that we were talking about the Farrah Fawcett swimsuit yesterday.
Yeah, yes.
Well, there's a whole article I put on your show links today. Norma Kamali doing a new interview explaining the history of the Farrah Fawcett swimsuit.
I love it.
We are going to talk about this because that is such a great story, but it's so random that that just happened to come up. And she was on that, like, Behind the Velvet Rope radio show.
Serendipitous. Well, happy 19th anniversary.
Thank you, Holly.
Thanks, Holly.
Yes.
Theory. All right. What made-up theory are we going to hear today?
Well, no, I'm just going to give you Rick Nelson's theory.
From the Star Tribune?
Yeah.
All right, what's he saying?
How is it that Lori and Julia are celebrating their 19th celebration on the air? I'm doing the math, and this can only mean they started their school as a high school extra credit project. Hashtag forever young. Now, that's a theory we can get behind.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Rick.
And thank you, everybody. Funny. We've got so many nice emails and comments on our Instagram account.
They like us. That's a theory. They really, really
and this
like
one
us.
Said, I like you both, dot, 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 equally.
Equally.
And this lady says, hi, I raised my kids with you, too. Thank you. But thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us. They said I went and lost.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, what kind of theories do you have today?
Here is a theory. I thought, you know, it's been a while, and in honor of Rocco, you know.
This is our last day, the three of us.
Yes, because you're off tomorrow.
I'm off tomorrow.
That's true. So I just thought, you know, what could there, where could be just like a really great story that we could all really sink our teeth
all
into
right.
and get behind?
I'm going to look at the picture of all three of us then and watch Rocco's face yeah. to see if he's really listening.
Yeah. My fingers for Statue of Liberty time.
Right, right.
That's coming up next.
So have you guys ever heard the theory that sometimes a guy is doing his thinking with the wrong head?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And by that, you know, everyone knows what they mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. what they mean. Well, mm-hmm. get this.
Okay.
This study is remarkable because the brain and a man's nether regions, specifically the testicles, are basically exactly alike. Okay.
So when your balls are sore, your brain is sore.
No, but when it, the organ that you share, the two organs.
Why are you turning red right now? Lori's turning red.
I don't know.
Are you embarrassed and blushing?
No, I'm not. But the organ that had, they wanted to see what two organs had the most in common.
And stop. It is not the testicles in the brain.
Yes, it is.
What? Where is this from?
Julia.
I think you're making it up.
I am not making this up. Please let me go to my research study. Okay. This was published in the Royal Society of Open Biology.
Open Biology?
Open Biology. Okay. It's a well-respected medical journal. And, okay, what they looked at is that not only is the brain and the testicles, the balls, basically
we know, the potatoes.
Similar, yeah. They're practically identical.
Rocco.
Okay, there. Listen,
Rocco, do you believe any of this? Let me give you the facts.
All right. Let me give you the facts. The study finds that the human brain, uh-huh. consists of 14,315 different proteins.
Proteins. Okay.
While the testes, which is how you refer to testicles, that's really incorrect. Testes is the true Latin connotation.
Yeah.
Testicles is like redundant. Okay. Like saying there were two twins.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just...
So we're just going to use that for the sake
of this conversation.
For the sake of, you know, my theoretical study. But anyway, and the listen to the balls. Okay, the testes.
Listen to the balls.
Listen to the balls. Okay. The balls.
Wah, 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 wah. I got a ball. I'm talking.
15,687 proteins.
So the balls have
and
more
the potatoes
proteins
than the brain.
Oh, but
and
it's what these proteins do.
Let me blow your mind even further.
I can't take it.
When they compared the two tissues,
okay,
the authors found that there was a staggering. Now, remember, the brain has 14,500
or something
proteins mm-hmm. and the testes
15,600.
When they study and compare them, they have 13,442 proteins that are in common that they both share.
All right.
I mean, Rocco.
This is all starting to make a lot of sense.
So
to me.
If you
isn't
cut
it?
Yeah.
So when they say when you're running around with your head cut off, you're still functioning because you got your balls.
That's right. And that's right. And apparently, women, we have the same ball like quality too.
This is going to prove that you really are a man, Lori, because you have more balls than me.
But the brain. Okay. So although the brain spends its day at work thinking and the testes are sitting around waiting for sex.
For something to think about. They're thinking about that, okay?
Yeah, they both have high energy demands, okay? Due to energy requirements, they are both the brain and the testes are vulnerable to oxidative stress. You know, laptops, free radicals. All these kind of things. Okay. It's the same kind of a thing. So, all right. Anyway, and to defend against this, both the brains and the testes have created their own blood barrier to keep harmful substances out. They're quite remarkable and strong.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, it's a vital element of male fertility because when you think about it, they are in a thin sack of skin.
It's like the skin underneath your eyes.
Yes.
There's the thinnest point of skin on your body.
Delicate, but think about how resilient and strong they are, even though they're not in a hard shell like your head.
Amazing.
I mean, I'm now starting to feel the miracle of balls in a way I never have before.
I'm starting to feel the miracle of balls.
I mean, I'm just going to let move me for a minute.
Let it move you.
Because that's kind of amazing.
It is amazing.
You know?
It is amazing, Loreen. Okay, yeah. It kind of is when you stop and think about it. I mean, this is something I've never thought of.
Neither
ever.
Have I, but we have always said, he's thinking with his other head. Well, yes, I mean, now...
Or you've got a lot of balls. Always means that you've got a lot of chutzpah.
They were surprised that the human brain and the testes had the highest number of common proteins compared with all these other human body tissues that they compared the brain against.
That's pretty amazing.
I know. I thought it might have been like the best theory I've ever found, just as far as, you know, putting a link between the human brain and
the other brain.
The other brain, the balls, the potatoes, the delicate little wonders that carry all the sperms, you know. Just who would ever think
the delicate little wonders?
Yeah, but I mean, who would ever think that those would
share
be
13,442 of the same proteins
that they would have the most in common? I would have never thought that.
No,
but I don't know what I would have picked. But no. Yeah, so it's like when you know Donna and Steve next week when this study gets around to them.
Yes.
Okay, we'll see how they handle the testicle talk, and if anyone brings up the fact that Steve might. The testes is the proper way to refer to a pair of balls.
Okay.
I'll have a lot less sex talk on the tendon.
No, Rocco, this is going to be your new home.
I know. I heard Steve gets uncomfortable around this.
I want you to bring this up.
Okay. I on a regular basis refer to him as Testicle Steve. Not really, but that would be funny if I did. But he can claim harassment. I just call him Testy Steve. You never know what's going on. Hey, Testy Steve.
You have to stop. You're just talking about how smart he is.
Testy.
Like that could be sexual harassment.
No, but testy, like you're prickly.
Right. Oh,
prickly.
There you go.
That's another inside joke.
That's going to be our new inside joke.
Oh, yeah. Prickly.
Oh, God. Oh, where's the tech?
19 years of this. I don't know.
No, I don't know why anyone listens. That is the truth.
Honestly, I mean, and we're not scripting this, people. We're just letting the words carry us. Like, what's her name says in Jennifer Good. We can talk about nothing, you know, the soup, that old thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's us, Jules.
No, I know.
That was a good theory.
Well, it's an interesting fact.
Fact now, yeah.
It's a fact.
But we've always thought of the theory that you're thinking with the wrong head.
Well, everyone hears that. Which brain are you using?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You say that to men. Women, we don't have this.
I've said this to you. I said, you are thinking with the wrong head, Missy. I've told her that. Maybe I use a different word, but no, women do this too.
All right, Lori says you're in an orgasmic haze.
That's right.
Get your head out of your butt.
And the only reason that happens is because it's a real deal thing.
It's true.
It's true. It is a true thing. And I mean, you don't want to believe it because, my God, what if you gave somebody money?
Oh,
You're so orgasmic haze.
Oh, she's so walking a fine line right now, Rocco.
Yeah.
Look at the time.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, but here is my study for your brain. Time really does fly when you're having fun. So that's why 19 years has gone by so fast.
Don't you think?
This is from University. This was published in where was this published? It was researchers wanted to just see why does fun time fly by, because that's another saying, oh, time flies when you're having fun.
Right.
Okay, but
it's true.
It is true. And that's why vacations feel like they're over really fast. You anticipate, even if a vacation is a week away, it feels like luxury. But anyway, but the bad times feel like it drags on.
Oh, yeah.
Fun time feels like it flies by fast. And they said it is a, it's a real feeling. And they look at how people perceive time, whether it's a positive or a negative event. And when it's positive, it just does feel like, that went by too fast. It was just so much fun.
And I know.
And you just do feel that way because you're having fun the whole time. And then when it's not a good time, that feels like it drags. And yep, that is the way it is. They have proven it, but it was published in the Psychological Times, and I'm just not going to get into all the good detail like I did with the testes.
Well, because you had to spend more time on that one.
Yeah. Oh.
The headline grabbed you.
Genetic. The brain is most similar to the testicles. Oh, excuse me, testes. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back.
All right, I'm putting on my Google Calendar June 10th, 2022.
Yeah.
Lori and Julia's 20th, so we can...
Maybe someone will remember Rania.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe someone will sing us a sexy song like Bradley on our fourth year.
I mean, that's pretty... Funny. I forgot about Brad. Oh, gosh. He was talented, too. We've worked with Rocco. You guys are so creative. You know,
next year, June 10th is on a Friday, so we can make it a big anniversary weekend. We could have like LoJ Fest.
Yeah.
Oh, they were already planning that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Instead of State Fair, have LoJ Fest. I kind of like that, Rocco. Oh my gosh. All right, what else is shaking?
What Holly was referencing, so yesterday when we were talking about how did the fair...
Kanye West, Puffer Coat, that's the Gap collab, reminded us of Norma Kamali's old down jacket that she did years ago.
Yeah, he totally ripped off Norma Kamali, 100%.
Right.
And so she was on, and then, you know, someone asked us about, you know, how did we get on the radio? Short answer, you know, the nipple fame, and one of the things that I would always point out when I was doing interviews for Body Perks was that the best-selling poster still to this day of all time is Farrah Fawcett in the red swimsuit, nipping out in just the most beautiful way. The nippage was just incredible. And so that would be like one of my things, you know, that nipple facts, if you were.
Okay,
and I had a million of them, Rocco, but this was, I loved the Farrah Fawcett one because it's instantly recognizable.
It is
the best-selling poster of all time. In fact, they say it is believed to have been copied more than a billion times for use on T-shirts or posters. It's rated the most iconic image of the 70s, and a copy was put in the Oblio satellite probe that was shot into space by NASA in 1977. And the actual swimsuit is at the Smithsonian Museum.
Is it really? I love that.
Yeah. And so anyway, Norma Kamali is I don't know, she's doing interviews, and she was on the show called Behind the Velvet Rope.
Okay.
And she was asked about, you know, that was Farrah Fawcett was wearing your Norma Kamali.
Yeah.
How did that happen? And she said, well, she lived in L.A., but she shopped a lot in New York, and she was in New York a lot. And she was just as beautiful inside as out. Truly, truly, truly a lovely person.
Oh.
And Farrah had visited Norma Kamali's shop in New York and snapped up several pieces from her as usual. I guess she was a big fan.
Right.
And if you think of Norma Kamali's aesthetic, very sexy.
Yes.
You know, kind of, she said she bought a lot of nice swimwear. She would just come in and shop and she would just buy things. And when Farrah purchased the low cut red swimsuit, Norma, she said, I had no idea she'd even bought that swimsuit. Maybe she wasn't working that day. And she didn't know about it until the photo shoot and the poster came out.
Oh, really?
And when she got a look at the poster, she was stunned. She said, when I saw that poster, I was horrified.
Why?
And it wasn't because she didn't like the suit. She said, I did a lot of testing. I tested that style. I did six swimsuits and I put it in the store and I thought, I'm not going to make that one. Again, it's just not good. I don't like what it did. And then the suit was suddenly everywhere. And she was like, oh my gosh, what? Oh my God. I didn't even want to make that suit.
Isn't that something?
She didn't like the fit of it.
Okay.
And I said, why did you wear that? Why did you wear that suit of all suits? And she said, you know, she just said she was with the photographer and she had two swimsuits, the swimsuit she had on and the Norma Kamali in her bag.
And it's just a basic
red.
Yep.
And it, think about Pamela Anderson, CJ, you know, kind of, whereas it turns out that, you know, the photographer was just like, well, let's put on the red one. And then, of course, clinging, nipply, low cut, perfect, sexy.
All that hair.
All that hair.
All that tan.
And they just went with it. And she just said, you know, it wasn't her favorite suit that she ever designed, but she was like, you know, she discontinued it after that first season.
Isn't that something?
Yeah. So anyway. That's the story of the suit. That's the story of the suit. And the guy that took the picture got paid $1,000 for the photo shoot. And they were like in Malibu and he had the blanket in his pickup truck.
I love that.
I mean, it was money. There was no styling and it was his truck and her.
She's just in her natural, amazing beauty. Boy, she was beautiful, wasn't she?
So that's posted if you want to see the story, look at the suits. And also, if you want to see the movie that Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox met on, because they did not meet on their video for Bloody Valentine. They met on this movie.
Okay.
Midnight in the Switchgrass.
Does it look good?
It does, even though Megan Fox is an FBI agent. I'm slightly suspicious, Rocco. I'm not going to lie.
Megan Fox.
As the FBI agent.
What about Angelina was just in a movie where she played a firefighter?
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't seem that believable.
Yeah, right? I guess, you know. So anyway, I guess this is where the hot heat started, you know, between her and...
And Machine Gun Kelly.
Well, he's got a Connor, I think is his name. Connor
it is? Braxton, so he has a name?
Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly is his real name.
Hey, Rocco, thanks for everything.
Yeah, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, everyone have a great night. Cheers.
Job done. Off you go.